Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted. Happy New Year to you. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz from Packers.com, and we're coming to you from our studios here at Lambeau Field. And Wes, 31-24, the Packers beat the Detroit Lions at Ford Field on Sunday Night Football for the NFC North division title. Five NFC North titles in the last 6 years now for Green Bay, and boy, this one was, I guess, just as sweet as all the others.
Absolutely. Maybe even a little bit sweeter. When you look at it, eight consecutive playoff appearances now, that's tied with New England for the longest current streak in the NFL. Only one postseason appearance now behind, I think it's Dallas and Indianapolis, for the NFL record for consecutive playoff appearances. So when you look at the path in which the Packers took this year, it was unconventional. It was basically the additive inverse of last year, where the Packers start 6-0, then finish 4-6 to finish the regular season. But being able to go into Detroit, and you and I heard that crowd, the energy, what that was like at the beginning, to persevere through that, come up with a big victory, get as many people contributing to that victory as they did. I think when you talk to these guys in the locker room, and obviously when you heard Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy speak, there's a it's gratifying to be able to get to to get to this point.
Yeah, you mentioned contributions from all across the board. Let's start on offense. I don't think anybody thought going into the game that Aaron Rutkowski was going to suddenly be the workhorse running back in the first half for the Packers. He ends up with 61 yards rushing for the game, catches a 7-yard touchdown pass on a check down play to get the Packers on the board first in the ball game. A really solid performance by the second-year fullback, and some nice compliments from quarterback Aaron Rodgers afterwards. He came right out and said he is a John Kuhn-type player. That's the guy he wants in the backfield on a key third down, just like he wanted John Kuhn back there as well.
Smart guy, does all of his homework in terms of knowing the game of football, what his responsibilities are. But I think in terms of him as a ball carrier has been the biggest surprise this season. Now, don't get me wrong here. Aaron Rutkowski's not going to be running for 1,000 yards anytime soon. But
right. The
combination, and Ty Montgomery talked about this after the game too, him and Montgomery in this game really provided a nice little 1-2 thunder and lightning combination for the Packers. I mean, 17 carries, 105 yards together between them. Different types of running styles, and at different points in the game, both of those were incredibly effective. You look at Rutkowski, 45 of his 61 rushing yards in the first half. Montgomery was kind of the guy in the second half. That was exactly what this offense needed to really get going and sustain itself down the stretch.
Yeah, and another big contribution, I guess you'd call it another unsung hero in the game, undrafted rookie wide receiver Geronimo Allison. And we talked about him last week. He fills in for Randall Cobb against Minnesota, makes a couple of nice plays, 66 yards receiving on four catches, has an even bigger night against Detroit, still four catches again, I believe,
yeah.
But 91 yards, including a touchdown on a crucial 3rd and 9 from the 10-yard line there in the fourth quarter. I don't know how much more you can say about this guy when you look at where he came from, not even being drafted, starts the season on the practice squad, gets his way onto the active roster, and now he's basically the number three receiver on this team, with Randall Cobb being currently sidelined by the ankle injury, and he's showing up big.
Two things that really stand out to me about Allison. The first one was I asked Ty Montgomery about him a little bit in the locker room afterwards, and I thought it was interesting what Montgomery said. You know, he's gotten a lot of the headlines this year for making the conversion to running back and a lot of the praise, but he said Geronimo Allison is a great story when you think about it. Undrafted rookie, really, you know, arguably should have been on the 53-man roster. He wasn't. He stays on the practice squad, ends up working his way up to the main roster. And to be able to contribute the way he has, particularly these last two games, you know what this offense is like and how much you need to be able to have that attention to detail when working with Aaron Rodgers. Geronimo Allison has done that as a rookie. And I think that's been impressive. When you talk to all those guys in that room, I don't think anybody could be happier for that young man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just look at these last two games. If you do the math, if I can do it quickly enough in my head, 8 receptions, 157 yards, and a touchdown in two games from a guy in two of the biggest games of the season, from a guy who wasn't even on the 53-man roster at the start of the year. That's really remarkable.
And no disrespect to the University of Illinois. I don't want to, you know, I'm not ripping anybody here, but he's really never been in these situations either. I mean, just huge moments, playoff implication moments. I think is the most startling thing to me when you think about mental errors and how difficult it is for any rookie in the National Football League to come in and play well in really those moments that are just so tense. it's incredible what he did, and to be able to put him in that situation, I think, says a lot about Rodgers, the offense, and that coaching staff to make sure that young man was ready.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more to break down from this NFC North title victory by the Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we turn our attention to the defense, Mike McCarthy had an interesting comment after the ball game, talking about how this really was almost a microcosm, an inside look at the entire season with what the Packers had to deal with injury-wise. You end up with three cornerbacks, Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, and Mackinton Dorlian, all going down with injuries within a span of a few plays there in the second half. And it becomes a patchwork job in the secondary. Micah Hyde has to move from the slot to the outside, which he probably hasn't played since his rookie year. You're putting two safeties, Morgan Burnett, a veteran, but an undrafted rookie, and Kentrell Bryce, another safety at a slot corner position. Another undrafted rookie, and Marwin Evans goes in to play deep safety along with HaHa Clinton-Dix. And somehow, some way, the Packers didn't allow Matthew Stafford to throw a touchdown pass in the second half until the final moments when they kind of threw a pseudo Hail Mary there to get within one score.
Right, Mike. And I remember talking to Morgan Burnett specifically about this earlier this season, and that, you know, Darren Peer and these defensive coaches, they really preach to the safeties this year, knowing kind of those cornerback positions, knowing more than one spot. Now, Burnett has also been playing kind of a pseudo inside linebacker role this year, but to throw those guys in that situation, Hyde, who's played a lot of places but hasn't played boundary corner a lot in the last 2 years, then you have a guy like Burnett, who's then suddenly that kind of star cornerback spot, the nickel spot, playing in that role. Incredible. The first time he thinks he played that spot since his freshman year at Georgia Tech. So it's incredible when you think about what the Packers were able to do with how stressed they were in the secondary at that point in the game. And Micah Hyde made just a brilliant interception, a back shoulder throw that Stafford was trying to sneak in there, and he read it perfectly, pulls that down, and I think that went a long way to being able to seal that one and make sure that that door was closed on the Lions. Even though they did have that late touchdown, I believe that was to Tate, it was a little too late at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Hyde's interception at the goal line there's a minute and a half on the clock.
Right.
They get the touchdown there. They're within one score. Granted, it still most likely comes down to an onside kick. But as it turned out, then the onside kick was with only 13 seconds left on the clock, and it was somewhat academic from there. But yeah, give the Packers defensive coaches and Mike McCarthy their leadership through this and all the injuries that they've dealt with, and to be able to handle this on the fly. I mean, Matthew Stafford, you know, led the Lions to a couple of touchdowns there in the first half, led them also to a field goal drive that ended up in a missed field goal.
Right.
So the Lions just had the 14 points at halftime. But boy, you start seeing these guys dropping like flies, and the type of season Stafford's having and playing at home, you start to wonder if he's really going to find a rhythm. And yeah, they moved the ball. They did get the one long field goal to get back within one score. They did move the ball there at the end as well. But it never felt like Stafford was suddenly in control of
right.
the game. The Packers defensively just, they hung tough. Mike McCarthy talked about, you know, guts and resiliency. And that's really been the theme of this team, and particularly this defense, all year long.
Absolutely. And really coming together in those moments of adversity. And I think you look at the situation with Quentin Rollins, and you know, you hope everything's okay with him. They said afterwards, he had movement in his extremities, and was able to, you know, he was cognizant of what was going on. And for the Packers defense, particularly that secondary, to be able to bounce back after that, the emotions of that, seeing their teammate carted off. Morgan Burnett said, you don't want to see that happen to anybody. It doesn't matter if it's your teammate or not. Although in this case, I mean, you know, Quentin Rollins, one of the most quiet, unassuming guys that you could think of in terms of just his humility. That was tough, and yet they had to move on. They had to finish that game out and just take a quick prayer and, you know, press forward. They did that. You look at the pass rush. I mean, Nick Perry's playing with one arm, right, or one hand.
Yeah.
And gets his 11th sack of the year on a third down situation. Just so many little parts of that game contributed to a big-time defense performance. Yeah, maybe it isn't reflected in the stats. I don't know where they finished this year in total defense, but this defense was opportunistic down the stretch, and it did exactly what they needed to do to be able to get these wins in this, you know, run-the-table stretch.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to give a lot of credit to Mike McCarthy, and it's certainly worth mentioning the 8 playoff appearances. He's only the 4th coach in league history to lead a single team to that many playoff appearances in a row, the others being Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, and Bill Belichick. That's some pretty heady company right there. And I know Mike McCarthy's not one to reflect on that right now and whatnot with the Giants coming up here at the end of the week in a big playoff game and the Packers trying to keep this run going as long as they can. But when your name is mentioned with those 3 coaches, that says something.
It does, Mike. And I mean, we were talking 2 months ago about all this team and where's their mind at. The big thing was McCarthy stepped forward. He had that positive mindset, not just with the media, the guys in the locker room.
Yeah.
Telling them, you know, that I still believe in this. What I'm seeing on the practice field is going to equate to wins. We just got to stay that course. The Packers did that. They made this stretch. I don't know if I can't think of anybody at the top of my head that has been as much success as McCarthy has now that has been under the microscope in which he has. I mean, this is 8 consecutive playoff appearances, Mike. 8.
Yeah.
One shy now of a record, you know, if it happens again next season. It doesn't happen by accident. There's a lot of things that go into it. And this year, obviously, you look at this Packers team, what they had to play through. It was a well-deserved honor.
Yeah, and now it's just a question of how long the Packers can keep it going. And we'll talk about that when we come back after the break. Back with more after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, when you talk about maybe how far the Packers can go, how long they can keep this run-the-table mantra going here, it starts with quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know what play or plays you want to talk about from Sunday night's game in Detroit, but this guy, 23 seconds left on the clock in the first half, a delay of game moves you back to your own 20-yard line. Doesn't stop him. He still gets him into field goal range. They get a long field goal to end the first half, so they're only down by 4 points. Come out in the second half, march right down the field and get a touchdown. I mean, the scramble drill plays, you know, catching a shotgun snap that bounces off his leg, ducking under sacks and getting away. I mean, what this guy is doing week after week after week is just, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and I think Mike McCarthy said it best last week when it's like you start to run out of ways to compliment him. It's just that there's just too much, and he does it at such a consistent high level. How many times, Mike, in your time, particularly on the beat, have you said Aaron Rodgers is playing some of the best football of his career? It seems like there's a stretch every season where he's doing that. Now, fortunately for the Packers, that zone, that locked-in sort of focus, it's happening at the most critical part of the season. I think when you look at this, you know, this team, particularly with him under center and being able to do what he's done the past few weeks, I think this is where Aaron Rodgers has been at his most dangerous when you think of the last few seasons. I mean, he's healthy, he's fresh in terms of, you know, he's been out there, he's been conditioned for all this. It's something where, you know, he had the collarbone injury in 13 and then the calf in 14, where there's always been something at the end of the year that's kind of been nagging him a little bit. The calf flared up again this year, but it just seems like the way he's been able to scramble and avoid contact the past few weeks, he's looking fresh here for the stretch run.
Yeah, for sure, and with what Rodgers is able to do, I looked at it, I think I mentioned to you in the press box Sunday night, Matthew Stafford drives the Lions down for a touchdown at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
He's got his team ahead 14-7 with 23 seconds left in the first half. The next time Matthew Stafford has the ball in his hands, he's losing 17-14 because Aaron Rodgers has led his team to a field goal in 23 seconds, and he's driven his team for a touchdown to open the second half. I mean, psychologically, I mean, I know it's 17-14, it's still anybody's game at that point, but psychologically for the Lions and for Matthew Stafford, that just has to be a crusher, especially playing at home when the Lions score to go up 14-7 after the Packers had been up 7-0. They get back-to-back touchdowns there to what they think is going to be a 7-point lead at halftime. And the next time their offense has the ball, they're down by 3. The swing in the game was really incredible.
Well, and it shows you how much confidence Mike McCarthy has in both Rodgers and that offense. You know, 23 seconds remaining in the first half. They did have 3 timeouts, but instead of kneeling on it, they sent it down the field. They got that 31-yard pickup.
39
to Allison.
To Allison, yeah.
And they kept it moving. Mason Crosby made a great kick at the end of the first half, and that sort of turned the momentum a little bit. It was just a little play, didn't give them the lead, but when they came out of the second half, it just seemed like they had a swagger to them that we're going to win this game, and then they ended up putting together a tremendous second half. When you look at Rodgers now, though, 233 consecutive passes without a pick, just playing mistake-free football. It just seems like no matter what he's doing, he's making the right decision, and picking up a lot of players along the way. You see Allison and developing the way he did. Devontae Adams had 2 touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
Made the most of everybody around him.
Yeah, I think the thing that was most impressive to me about what Rodgers and the Packers ended up accomplishing last night offensively was that this was not a super smooth and efficient and, you know, the ball is rolling type of game.
Sure.
There were, I mean, with the crowd noise and everything else, there were false starts, there were holding penalties. There was a lot of disjointedness here and there that they had to overcome. They converted some tough third down situations, all of that. And with everything they're battling through, not to mention what we talked about on the defensive side, but strictly offensively, everything they're battling through and trying to overcome, you look up at the end of the day and there are 31 points on the board,
yeah,
on the road in a loud, crazy dome environment with fans that are screaming for their team to win a division title for the first time in 23 years. It just doesn't faze this guy,
no,
and this offense. They find a way.
Then they were resilient, too. When you look at the negative penalty yardage that they had, it seemed like in most cases when they needed to get the yards back, they did, and they almost did it immediately. The pass to Allison, I think, was a first and 16.
First and
situation.
16 after a penalty,
right.
Yeah.
So they found ways to pick themselves back up, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is the key to all that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's just lay out exactly what the playoff situation is right now for the Packers. The New York Giants, the number 5 seed. The Packers as NFC North champion, the number 4 seed. They will square off at Lambeau Field late Sunday afternoon, the final game of the 4 wild card weekend games, 3:40 Central Time kickoff here in Green Bay. On Saturday night, the Detroit Lions will be playing at Seattle. The 6 seed Lions against the 3 seed Seahawks. And so the Packers and Giants will know by the time their game begins or when the Lions and Seahawks game ends on Saturday night, they'll know where the winner is headed. Because if the Lions win, the Lions would go to top seeded Dallas and the Giants-Packers winner would go to Atlanta, the other team with a first round bye. If the Seahawks win at home, they would go to Atlanta, and then the Giants-Packers winner goes to Dallas. So a lot of, a couple different paths here that this could take, but obviously the only thing that matters at this point is the Giants are coming to Lambeau, and the Packers need to keep this thing going.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you laying that out for all the viewers and listeners, Mike, because I would have messed that up, and we would have just had to reshoot the whole thing. So a lot of things happened, and trying to make sense of everything the past few weeks, this is what reason we said, just get to 10 wins. I mean, and honestly, I know it sounds kind of funny, but it's the truth. That's what the Packers controlled. And I know some guys in the locker room did know that, you know, Washington won, and you know, they knew that they were
already in
the playoffs. Washington lost.
Yeah.
They knew that the Giants had won. They knew that they were in the playoffs. But that didn't matter. It was about winning that NFC North title. And you want to see how important the North title is? Detroit's flying to Seattle now for a night game on Saturday.
Yeah.
As opposed to now the Packers being able to host a game on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. that's a quantum difference. When you look at the traveling involved with that, and also being able to get the extra day, that's probably the biggest key to this, and the Packers were fortunate enough to be able to take that.
Yeah, the Lions in a tough spot. I mean, we were talking about it before we turned the cameras on here. They finish a game playing at home, so they weren't traveling on Sunday night, but they finish a game at midnight Eastern time, basically, on a Sunday night. And they've got a real compressed week now with a flight presumably on Friday all the way to the West Coast to Seattle to get ready for a Saturday night game. Now, you know, the Seahawks obviously have a short week as well, but they even, you know, benched Russell Wilson in the second half of their game against the Niners when they weren't going to be able to get the first round bye anymore with Atlanta in control of the game against New Orleans and all of that. So a tough spot for the Lions to be in. The Packers certainly not in an easy position with a Giants team that's playing some tremendous defense coming here to Lambeau Field. But as we talked about last week, the Packers have faced a couple of pretty good defenses in the Seahawks and the Vikings their last two times at Lambeau Field, put up 38 points on both teams. I said to you last week, I don't care who the opponent is in the playoffs, the Packers want to be playing at Lambeau.
Definitely. And another thing to keep in mind, too, at Detroit, back-to-back short weeks for them now.
Oh, that's right,
after the Monday night game.
After
and
the
now
Monday night,
having to play on a Saturday. But getting back to your point, this is a great move by the Giants. You know, they knew that they had a nucleus there. And even though if Tom Coughlin wasn't the one leading them, they had Ben McAdoo, their former offensive coordinator, now the head coach. Steve Spagnuolo, was their defensive coordinator. The worst defense last year in the NFL. Arguably the most improved defense this year in 2016.
Without question.
With Olivier Vernon and the moves that they made. Watching them against Washington, that's a tough unit.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a tough test for Green Bay. But, again, you get them back at Lambeau Field, and the way that they've played recently, I think the Packers have to be feeling pretty good about that matchup.
Yeah, for sure. You look at the Giants, they shut out the Redskins in Washington when the Redskins are playing for everything, playing for a playoff spot. They shut them out in the first half, get a couple of big turnovers in the second half to hold them to 10 points and win that game. So, but plenty to talk about with the Giants as the week goes on. That's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.